What Radio, the music you want.
With your host, Steve Dan.
Brilliance. That's all I can say. Sheer, unadulterated brilliance.
RadioWhat.com.
What's up, party people? It's Keys Dan with RadioWhat.com, DJLittleRock.com, coming to you live and in living color from the Radio What studios. And this is my podcast, What Makes You Famous. It's an extension of the RadioWhat.com internet radio station that I've been running for quite some time. And if you need DJ services, where do you go? DJLittleRock.com. Let me say that one more time. Boop, 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 boop. DJLittleRock.com. Check availability, get a free price quote, and maybe you could have me. Yeah, me at your next event. I like to party with the people. Speaking of partying with the people, today on the program, I have Exile. Who's Exile? Well, you'll know in the next few minutes, so stick around for that. You're going to hear Exile's story. Yeah. This week's shows, hey, this is the part where I put the shows, the public shows that I have. And we've been in coronavirus lockdown for the last couple of months. But I do have a show this week. Friday night, I'll be back at the Rab in Conway, Arkansas. You know the Rab. You know the place where you usually hang out with me for the video dance party, karaoke jam. Well, we're doing it, man. We have a few a few precautions that we're doing. Yes, I have a lot of baby wipes that I'll be wiping the microphones down with. And no, you're not allowed to step close to me while I'm at the DJ booth. We'll be doing texting. If you want to hear a song or you want to sing a song, you can come and text me at 501-470-6386, the same number that I give out if you want to be a part of the show. How about that? So if you want to be a part of the podcast, see, same number. It's in my pocket all the time. Technology is great. But yes, the video dance party karaoke jam is Friday night at the Rab in Conway, Arkansas. Be there. I think they're doing 60 people. They can hold 60 people at this time. It's a really, really big club. So they can do 60 people. And all the you can wear your mask. You can wear your gloves if you want to. Nobody's going to poke fun at you or anything. The staff is definitely wearing masks and gloves. And they have some sanitizer out. And of course, wash your hands. That should have been since day one. You should have been washing your hands anyway. So there's a few precautions in there. I think they put up some rules there. And if they haven't, just to use your best judgment, buddy. It's pretty simple. You know, I, just like me, I know that there's a disease out there that there's no cure for, and it is transmittable. So I'm vigilant. I'm not wearing a mask. I'm not wearing gloves, but I'm vigilant. No handshakes, no high fives, no fist bumps. I'll give you the finger guns and the jazz hands. So come join me on Friday nights, capacity permitting, at the Rab in Conway, Arkansas. All right, without further ado, let's get into it with Exile. All right, I get to get some video on him. So if you're listening to the audio portion of this podcast, I put the video portion out on YouTube. It's the Keys Dan YouTube, and I think the header says RadioWhat.com. So find that YouTube page and look up Exile. He'll be on there. Yeah, easy peasy, lemon squeezy. Not only listening to the voice, but also seeing the face of Exile. Skyping Exile now. What's happening out there? How you living?
Good, man. Actually, things are going real good for me. How are you?
Well, it seems like I caught you in your car, in your automobile, on the road, in transit. It looks like Exile's always on the move. It's Keys Dan with the What Makes You Famous podcast. What is happening in your neck of the woods, and where are you at anyway?
I'm actually in
I'm sorry. You cut out on me. Say it again.
Oh, my bad. I'm in Everett, Washington.
Everett Washington. Now, if you had a set of headphones, it would make this thing go so much better. If you had that way, there's no echo involved, and we can get a really good sound out of this. He's looking around. He's looking around. For the people that are listening on the audio version of this, he's looking around. Now, of course, I'm going to put this up as a video as well. But that's okay, man. It sounds okay to me. You're sitting in, what, in the back of your car?
No, I'm in the front.
In the front, man. Where are you in transit to? You're always on the move, I'm guessing.
Actually, I was at my house, and, I woke up, and I thought it was going to be, 10 or 11 or something. Bro, it was 4:30 p.m. and I was like, oh shit, I gotta do this show, I better get moving. And I had to go to, because I'm in such a bad service area where I live, I can't even get on the app store on my phone. It tells me to connect to Wi-Fi, so I actually had to drive somewhere to get on Wi-Fi just so I could do the show.
Well, this COVID-19's got everybody all messed up. Nobody knows what day it is. Nobody knows what time it is. Everybody's just living, hour to hour. When the sun comes up, maybe you'll be awake. When the sun goes down, maybe you'll be asleep. Eventually, this is all going to end. This is just craziness. It's nonsense. How's it been treating you over there in Washington?
The COVID-19 thing is, it's horrible for the economy and everything, but to be real with you and, people and everybody affected by it, it's terrible. And, I feel bad for all that. To be honest with you, I think the COVID-19 has been a great gift for artists, because the whole thing surrounding hip hop artists and people who are trying to find an alternative means of surviving in today's world, who want to have to fucking do the whole 9-to-5 thing and listen to some stupid ass boss bitch at you about, when you're gonna be somewhere or why you didn't do this. Now can't nobody judge you for trying to make music and make a living like that, because everybody is trapped inside and wherever they got to be.
Yeah, I know a lot of the jobs are having you work from home, or most of the jobs are putting you out on the street. And so creatives, I think, have to be more creative at this moment in time. But let's back up a little bit, man. Let's figure out, who am I talking to? Let the people know who is Exile. Let the people know who you are.
Yeah, I'm a hip-hop artist. I started writing when I was, actually. I remember where I was and what I was listening to, and I was like, oh, I could do that. Name is Exile, EX1LE. You can find my music at www.soundcloud.com/exile. Once again, that's EX1LE. As a matter of fact, I still remember the very first rhyme I ever wrote, and it's very short, but I can spit it for you real quick if you want.
Please do.
It goes like this. When I wanted, I hit it and quit it, if it but a script it and fuck it and forget it, then I win it, spin it, shoot it, and I'll bend it, tell the bitch and I finish Christian loving my sin and while I'm loving and living and loving the women, loving I'm a legend, I'm digging the attention of female disposition. This is a missing, a kiss and a miss, reminiscing, I'm a kiss to little kitten, getting to strip it and forgetting, I'm a listen to lust, love it to listen and listen to lust, to make a beautiful position and make an acquisition to a miracle, listen to a list with bitch, because the pussy game said stop. Now let the beat drop. That's the first thing I ever wrote as a hip-hop artist.
I think that was very ambitious, man. Most people would start off a little bit slower. Exile, just speeding it up right out the gate, sounding like Twister or Busta Rhymes or something. Jesus, crazy.
I know, right? I spent that for, I don't know if he would remember it, but I spent it for Snoop Dogg when he was at Alki Beach a few years ago. I was living on the streets at that time, but he stopped by and I spent that for him.
Well, okay, he stopped by on the streets? My goodness. All right, we got to back up. We got some stories to tell. You got to unfold some of that stuff, man. You said you were making rhymes, and that rhyme in particular from an early age. And what were you listening to at the time, and when was that?
I was listening to ICP.
Okay. Now, they have the best fan base since Kiss. And they dressed very similarly in some respects, where they dressed with the makeup on. Now, ICP, man, I'm not familiar. I'm not going to say I'm an ICP fanatic, and I guess, what do they call it? What do they call the Insane Clown Posse's posse? What do they call the people that listen to them?
I call them Juggalos.
Juggalos. So were you officially a Juggalo? Did you go for all the makeup and wearing all the shirts? And what is it like to be a Juggalo?
To be real with you, at that time in my life, yeah, I identified as a Juggalo at that time, but, I'm not really like that. And I never really wore the face paint or anything. I wore the merch and shit, and I was really into it. I like the music, and I still like the music. They're good artists. I'm just not a Juggalo. I'm not doing the Fago shower and all that shit. I'm not doing all that, but They ask a similar question and they address a similar question in one of their own songs. And it says, what is a juggalo? I don't know, but I'm down with the clown and I'm down for life. You know, it's a really definition as per just the, you know, just the clothes, the whole style. But,
well, exile, yeah. As a person growing up, man, you got to try to find your own way, your own personality, your own style. I know that, shoot, I grew up in the 80s. I'm 51 years old, and I wore parachute pants, but then I wore surfer clothes, you know, Ocean Pacific, and then I dressed like a preppy sometimes, and I wore Hawaiian shirts. I'm wearing a Hawaiian shirt right now, you know, so you're always trying to find your way when you're coming up into the world, and your one of your first interests was listening to ICP. Now when was that, and how old were you?
I was 17. I lived in Lebanon, Tennessee at the time. We lived in this old, you know, those old plantation houses where motherfuckers used to keep slaves. That's the type of house I lived in. Like, we are slaves, but that's the house. Like, it was an old plant on it, too.
Well, it sounds like one of those big, giant plantation houses where you got to wear this Colonel Sanders-looking suit to unless you're out of place. I mean, if you don't wear that suit.
Yeah, no, I mean, I wasn't wearing the suit for sure. But yeah, exactly right. Exactly. Okay. You could walk around, you know, we got to tend to our chicken real quick. Pa, why don't you go and grab the pitchfork so we can go get the hay and tend to the horses and the chicken? It was that type of shit, you know?
Well, Lebanon, Tennessee, I mean, that leads me to believe that it was kind of a small town, maybe, as I've never heard of Lebanon, you know? But, you know, is that where you were born and grew up? And how's the family life in Lebanon, Tennessee, for a young little exile, little baby exile?
You said baby exile. No, I actually wasn't born. I was mostly, yes, it was a very small town. I lived on 3561 Peeler Road. Yes, Tater Peeler Road. There was actually a film shot there by Quentin Tarantino at one point. But it is exactly what it sounds like. It's a podunk road in the middle of nowhere. Like, it really is just the middle of nowhere. So, family life? My family is scattered everywhere, and to be real with you, my family couldn't be more divided. You know, all my siblings hate each other. My family's all over the map. Nobody barely talks, as far as I know. And, you know, I think mostly what that is just, like, a lot of my family are very, like, status fixated. You know, and, like, there's a few great people in my family, but they're all very status fixated. Unless you're making really good money and, you know, or wearing a business suit or investing in stocks and bonds, they're not going to talk to you because my family's really judgy like that. You feel me?
Well, I'm guessing some of your family might be investing in stocks and bonds and might be doing that kind of work where they like to work in offices and make buku bucks. Is that what I'm hearing? Was mom and dad some of those people?
Not really, no. My mom is actually a country music artist, and she's really talented, actually. She never really got big or anything like that, so you wouldn't know who she is. But she's made some music. She never really like released it like she should have. But her voice is angelic, really good. My biological father, he's a real terrible person. I don't know where he's at. I've honestly never met him. But my stepfather lives in Tennessee. I don't talk to him much anymore because he like remarried and shit. So,
okay, I'm seeing the journey a little bit, but hey, I can see that music's in the blood. I mean, your mom, was she singing it all in Tennessee? I mean, you were in the right place, the right state. That's the music. That's the country music capital of the world, right there, hanging out. Yeah, at least in the Nashville area. I'm not familiar with geography where Lebanon is. But how close to Nashville was that? And was your mom singing at all while you were growing up?
Yeah, actually, she sung quite a bit. You know, she went to, like, little venues here and there. Nashville is right for her, for sure, you know, because it is music city. But for somebody like me, you know, I'm a lyricist, I rap, I do hip-hop. You know, now I'm learning to produce my own music and everything. It's not really my area, you feel me?
That's pretty cool. Okay. I mean, shoot. But you had that in your background. Whether you liked it or not, country is in the background. That is one of the building blocks of exile. So you had that. You had and musical stylings. And did she teach you anything about the music business at all while she was going through it? You said she was working little clubs. That's the kind of stuff I'm doing now. I'm not working the big clubs anymore. I'm DJing at little clubs. But you know, I'm guessing she was singing at restaurants maybe or maybe just smaller events. Did she teach you anything about the music business?
Not then, no. I mean, you know, she's heard some of my music since I really, like, since I've really started doing it, like I've posted been, you know, like putting my energy into it. When I first started writing and everything and I started doing it, I didn't believe in myself like I should have, you know, like all of my 20s, I really should have put more energy into this. And now like, I've dedicated to putting everything into it. So, you know, she hits me up every now and again to question more directly. She gives like, you know, little inspirational advice. But as for everything that I know and the music is shit that I've picked up from other artists, picked up from people I've recorded with, shit that I've researched myself. You see what I'm saying?
Nah, she sounds like a special lady, man, but it sounds like you've become a self-made man. When you left Lebanon, Tennessee, I'm guessing sometime after you got out of school. Now, all right, did you have any extracurricular activities while you were in school? Since I mentioned school, were you doing any rapping in school, or at least any spoken word, or any kind of performing at all? Or what were your interests back then?
When I was in high school, as a matter of fact, I don't even think I started writing until I dropped out. But when I was in high school, like, you know, everybody in the South, it's like a tight-knit clique in school. You feel me? Like, you go to school, and unless you're like a jock or, you know, popular kids or whatever, I wasn't like that. You know, I was like alternative. I still really liked hip hop. I dressed way different than everybody, and school was a rough place, man. Kids will do it live if you're different, especially South. So I didn't get along with anybody except for, you know, the weird kids at school. I got quite a few fights, man. Beat this one kid. I remember I jumped over a table and beat this kid up because he flipped me off through the glass lunchroom door. He flipped me off and like insinuated that I was a faggot or something, you know, sorry for the rough word, but he insinuated that I was gay and flipped me off. So I went to when the bell rang, I opened the door and I jumped over the table and socked him in the head right in front of all of his friends. We got to fight about probation. School, no, all the extracurricular activity I was involved in was smoking weed and beating up people who get. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Sounds like a struggle to me is what happened, you know, and through that struggle comes creativity. I find that more and more every time I talk to different artists of different types. That struggle, that hardship, that's what you turn, that pain, go, you know, gets turned into creativity. You know, whether you be a comedian or a movie actor or a hip-hop artist such as yourself, you're going to turn that and make it into something good, or it's going to burn you up inside. So I'm glad that you found this way to move it outside of your body and get it out into the world. Now, when did you make the trip? You know, I'm guessing you said you dropped out. When did you make the trip away from Lebanon, and where did you go?
I, since me and my family had been moving like back and forth between Washington, to be real with you, I don't even know why, like, we always did that. We would always be like, we'd be in Washington, and then, you know, the parentals would be like, oh, go down to Tennessee. We're moving now. Okay. So then we would move to Tennessee. Then we would move back up to Washington, back to Tennessee. Finally, my mom's met some dude. He's a great guy, actually. You know, I got to rescind that. It wasn't just, he met a guy. His name is John. And her man, with my stepdad, really, really toxic. They did not get along. And she met a guy named John from Australia. He recently passed away. Rest in peace. So she was like up with him, and it was just me and my stepdad, and me and him were not getting along. So after him and I got in a fist fight, he kicked me out on like the day of my 18th birthday. I'm not even playing, like on the minute. I actually got revealed later that my stepdad had been counting down the days until I was 18. Like he was keeping like a tally mark, like they do in jail. You feel me? Like he was like every day that got closer to me being 18, this motherfucker had a tally mark. He would be like, it's one day down. The day of my 18th birthday, midnight on my 18th birthday, this fool came and shook me awake and said, all right, get out of my house. Kicked me out in the middle of the night. I had to walk. I had to walk down that desolate dark road, no street lights at all. The only light you got was the moon, the stars, if they were even out. And, well, it's dark, so they usually weren't. But if it was cloudy or something, and the street lights from the cars passed. That's all you got. So I just had what I could carry, which was not all of my stuff. And I had to walk to my boy Sean's house and wake him up. And then after that, I ended up hitchhiking up to Washington, then down to California, back up to Washington.
Amazing, man. It sounds like there's no love lost with stepdad. All right. and I guess that your mom finally, you know, figured it out, and left him as well. Did she end up following you around, or did she stay in Tennessee?
Oh, she did her own thing. You know, be honest with you, I'm not even mad at her about that. You know what I'm saying? Like, she had five kids. She did the best she could with what she had. And, you know, she finally got a break in life. She met a rich Australian guy. He was amazing to her. And, you know, deserved it. And to be honest with you, I'm not even mad at my stepdad either. I still talk to him, like, from time to time. Like, I don't talk to him very much because, like I said, he got a family. But from time to time, I talk to him. We're still cool. You know, it is what it is. I'm not... Life's too short holding on to, you know, grudges like that. And besides, I got other things that I can write out that, you know, I got other ways I can direct my feelings and shit. So I'm not even mad at him, you know?
Yeah, Mr. Exile, it sounds like you did direct them, and direct them you did. You started to write them down, and you wrote them down from that early age. Now, when did you start, you know, really finding your way in music? Was it when you got to Washington, or when you got back down to California? Whereabouts in California were you? Where was it? Did you, you know, find it in Washington, California, or back to Washington? Where was it when you first found your niche?
It was definitely at, like, so I had... written before my dad had kicked me out, but it wasn't nothing like I was like, oh, you know, I'm an artist now. It was nothing like that. It was more like, oh, you know, I could do that. And I wrote it down. I was like, oh, that's cool. But it wasn't until I got back from California, and please let me stress, I was in California for a very short amount of time. I was down there just laying on the beach, you know, with blonde dreadlocks, hanging out with other homeless kids. And then ended up back in Washington, you know, where I knew the clique on the street and everything. It wasn't until I got back to Washington and I started out with some other artists, you know, and I kind of was like, oh, you know, I was at the studio. I'm not going to name the artist either because I'm falling out with this guy because, you know, I'm just going to leave it at that. You know, we fell out. I'm not cool with him anymore. But I was at his place, and he had a whole studio going on. I was hanging out with him and some other artists, and they were recording. Everything I was listening to, I was like, all right, this is all right, but I think I could do better. And somebody heard me say that. They were like, oh, really? Write something down. I wrote something down. They were like, oh, my God. You're insane. So, weirdly, they didn't want to pick me up on their label. And I think part of that was, like, I hate to suck the ghost in my own dick here, but, like, I think part of that was intimidation. You know what I mean? Like, I think they were like, oh, we can't have somebody better than the guy who owns the label. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's really where I started getting serious about it. And then after a stint of being independent, I ended up with Danger Mafia Records, which is now disbanded way later on. And now, you know, I've kind of been inspired to pick up the knowledge of how to just be completely independent music. Like, I'm learning all the skills that I should have learned initially. I got inspired to be like, oh, you know, instead of being lazy, let's pick up the knowledge. I can do this myself, and I am going to make it. I am going to blow up, because now that I'm finna have the equipment, I got the whole studio in the mail right now. I can name off the pieces of equipment coming. I got the whole studio coming. I'm finna put out more music than Popek, which I love Popek. Don't get me wrong. I do.
Well, school me on who Popek is, man. I'm always looking out for some new music. I never heard of him. Hit me with who is that?
It's either Popek or Kopek. I can't remember his name exactly, but he's like a really famous Polish rapper. The dude is nuts. He's crazy. He has like a schizophrenia thing going on, and one of his voices in his head like told him to cut part of his face off. So he got a surgery done with no painkillers, got part of his face cut off, and then some fool owed his friend money, and he made that dude eat the cut skin in a burger.
It's hardcore, man.
I guess that's how it is out there in Eastern Europe, man. They got some crazy stories I hear from them. But all right, now, man, that's a little side street that's somewhere in the back of your mind you might write a song about one day. Oh, my goodness, man. Exile. All right, so, man, okay. So you got into a group. You started writing some songs. The jealousy, that's something that comes with age, man. You know, when I was very young, I was always looking out for me and nobody else. I didn't want to help anybody else. I wanted to step on people on the way up. Now that I'm so much older, man, all I do is help other people. All I do is promote other people. And that's the way we need to be. And if there's one thing that can come away from that is that one experience that you have had with this little record company that thought that you were too good, or at least you had that feeling that you might have been intimidating to them because of the speed, just the sheer speed of the way that you can move your mouth and the words out of your mouth. I mean, just that little rap that you spit out just earlier was incredible. It was amazing. I couldn't understand a few of the words because the Skype was cutting out, but I can tell that it was flowing. It was flowing, and that's fantastic. And that's that's why I wanted you to get some headphones on, because it sounds better if you wear some of those headphones with the microphone on it and just stay in one position. But other than that,
I'm not willing to interview with you again. Next time I'll have some headphones.
No, it sounds pretty good, man. I'm enjoying it. This will be part one of Exile. And I know that we're on the ground floor right now, man. I'm looking at your SoundCloud, and there's not a lot of songs out there. And I know we're getting to that. You've said you've written a bunch of songs, but the production of those songs has been slow in coming. You were with that one group, and that didn't work out so well. Where did you go from there?
I ended up dating this girl for a while. I worked, man, I worked as a tow truck operator for a while. Then I switched over to being a waiter. And then I did a Lyft driving thing, and I met this girl in between. And I'm also totally skipping over the other girl I was daughter with. I've got a 6-year-old. I'm just going to skip over that completely. She, that whole thing is irrelevant at this point, but
congratulations on the baby girl. I appreciate that.
yeah. So I got with this one girl who I was with like 2 years while I was doing security, and that's when I started, all right, I don't want, in fact, one of the songs, Nothing on my Exile, the song called Nothing, is where I wrote it, and this is kind of where the feeling came from, is that I got stuck with this girl. She was pretty good looking when we got together, and she was cool and everything, but the more that I was with her, the more I realized what an inherently shitty person she was. And she just, how you get in a relationship and you just get fat. We both got fat. But man, she turned into a bridge troll for real, man. So bad. And she ended up leaving me for some dude she met over. She cheated on me with some dude she met over a video game that I introduced her to. But the song Nothing, before that all happened, I felt like I was slipping into that dangerous comfort that you get of having a home and being in a relationship and, having consistent sex and all that shit and food and meals and everything and video games. That's a trap. You get caught in this comfort zone. And I felt like I was time was just passing me, I could be doing so much more. And I was sitting on the porch and I was what am I doing? I got all this talent and I'm working this 9-to-5 with bosses who yell at me constantly. Told me multiple times I was the best dude at their company. I'm getting yelled at all the time by them. I'm getting yelled at by her. I'm miserable. I live in this little, I could be doing so much more. And that's where that song came from, where I was I feel like nothing. I feel like I better get up before I hit the ground running. And that's where I started really getting right back into it. And I think that's where the artist in me was reborn, because I was I should have been doing this the whole time. But the thing that really bogged me down was, it's I was working with this guy who was recording my songs, but his schedule, because he's got, and it's nothing bad on him, his schedule, he's got, kids, his wife's pregnant, he was getting married, every time I wanted to record, he's like, you can only come this really tiny window that's really inconvenient for both of us, but, maybe I can make it work. And it was only once every other month. So it's I didn't have a good way to put all these songs down and get them out there, because the only guy that I knew up where I was at and recorded was constantly busy.
Yeah. those scheduling problems. I get that, man. I get that a lot. Okay, but I did get something from that story. I mean, there's always a girl involved. Where was I, man? I know that there was something in there that I wanted to pick apart with you. You sang that song, Nothing. Now, was that before the relationship fell apart, or was that after the relationship fell apart?
It was before it fell apart. I've actually got 10 songs on my phone that I wrote a whole album, you know, just negative feeling down, but it was definitely before.
So you were having trouble getting recording time, and it's tough to be on somebody else's schedule. It's nice to have a producer that has a good studio that knows, you know, that has a discernible ear, because you, as a creator, you're going to come in with one idea and put it out to them and want to lay that idea down and put it out to the world. And it's good to have a partner, a producer, that can hear that. And if they've been doing it long enough, they're going to hear that and go, you know, that sounds pretty good, but if we turn this that way, we put up the bass this way and put the beats right, it's going to sound so much better and you're going to get more traction out of it. But you said that you were having some problems getting a producer together. They were giving you, you know, some off hours. Did you feel like maybe he didn't want to work with you, or it was just, you know, circumstances? He had to work with, you know, you had to work within his time zone.
I don't think his heart was really in it like it was fine. Well, he's more of a metal kind of guy. So I think even like the mixing and mastering that he was doing was here is more geared towards that heavier kind of. So I really don't think he had an ear for hip hop, to be real with you. And it's kind of abrasive. He's a good guy. You know, we're still friends and everything. It's just, I don't think like he's really the one to work with when it comes to hip hop. But to answer your question, I feel like he wanted to work with me for the fact that I was paying him for studio time, if that makes sense.
That's good. So that sounds like he's a decent fellow. He definitely is a, you know, he's going to do what he says he's going to do. Now, the other thing that it finally came to mind, we always do, you know, while we're trying to find our niche in the world, we do what we can to thrive and survive. Yes, I worked a ton of Joe jobs as I was coming up trying to find my way in the entertainment business. And it sounds like you have done it as well. I mean, it's good to have a day job, something steady that has insurance, because a lot of times a working musician, an entertainer has no insurance. So I'm hoping that the day job at least has some kind of insurance benefits. You know, you're getting something out of it, a steady paycheck, whether it be a teeny tiny paycheck. And a lot of people that want to get into the entertainment business, you got to know the money's good, but the work's not steady. So you got to keep hustling, you know. So unless you have an agent that's getting you work all the time, which I don't know. Do you have an agent, or are you doing this all by yourself?
I do. I'm the agent. I am the everything, because that's another place that I have critically failed as an artist. That I was putting so much. I believe that I could just get by on the fact that that I'm a talented lyricist and you know, I'm a gifted writer. I thought, oh, it was like, oh, you know, I look good, I can write good rhymes, that's enough. Everybody else can do everything else. And it's not like that. It's like when you play a video game, like a highly competitive first-person shooter, you know. You might be good at shooting people, but are you good at moving? Can you take cover? Blah, blah, blah. My point is, when there's people out there who spend so much time and so much energy being the best at something, whether that's a video game, art, you know, employee of the month, whatever, the world is becoming so competitive that you can't just get by on just being like good at one thing in the whole category. Like, you got to be good at everything. You got to push the limits. Like, these people are pushing the human limits of what it means to be professional and like skilled at something. And that's what I'm going to do. That's what I should have done, because I was banking on, oh, you know, I'll just buy beats. I won't take the time to learn how to do it, which in itself is an obstacle, because you got to worry about leasing, exclusive rights, just so much that comes with, you know, Creative Commons, everything that comes with beats and you not owning and making them. Just that puts a huge obstacle in your way, which it is much simpler just to learn to do it. So my point is, I'm learning to do everything myself. I don't care what the workload is, because it seems like nobody has a vision for your music, for what you want to do, like you. and nobody will care for it like you would. Just like nobody would love your child the way you would love and care for your own child. You know, you could send a babysitter so you can go out to the movies, but they are not going to, they're not going to care about that kid like you do. You feel me? Like, nobody can replace you as a father, just like nobody can replace you as a musician.
That is well put, Mr. Exile. Well put, man. Hey, you know, I know how the industry has been changing over the years. Man, when I first started, it was two turntables and a microphone. Now I got to be the MC. Now I got to be the lighting. Now I got to be, you know, putting up the screens for the karaoke. I got to put up I got to make it look like a club all by myself if I want to make any money in the industry. And I got to be the promoter. I got to be the art designer. I got to know Photoshop. I got to know how to produce the beats, man. And I mean, that's another thing is you say you have equipment that's coming. The record companies, the big giant record companies, they used to sign people and they go, oh yeah, here's a $10,000 check, knowing that they're going to make $1 million on the back end and you're going to make $10,000, you know? So, the record companies are running scared because the independents like yourself, for under $1,000, you pretty much got a recording studio. You said you got some stuff coming, probably. You said that you're building your own.
I've got it's a little bit more than $1,000 worth of equipment, because you know I wanted to make sure that I had quality equipment when I started recording, because you know with this downtime I've been schooling myself in music theory, you know, learning about chords and how to write music and what the different notes are. Even though as a hip hop artist, you don't really have to write bar music. You feel me? Like you buy sound and then write your music. But I've been learning everything I can about this. So yeah, I got equipment in the mail. I got one piece of equipment I got is coming with this laptop. It's an Alienware M17 R2. And it is, guys, it's just ridiculous specs. And the reason I ordered that is because when you start producing all different stems and everything you got to put into production could start to bog your computer down. You know, I don't get halfway into making a really good beat and I can't do it anymore because the computer can't handle it. But I got that on the way. I got mixing headphones. I got production headphones. I got my MPK coming. So much equipment and a mic. You know, I've even got actually this van that I'm in, I was living in, but I just got my own room, which part of that is going to be a recording studio. It's got a perfect setup to make a booth and everything. So yeah, I got a good studio that's in the mail as we speak right now. It's already paid for and on the way.
Well, Mr. Exile, it sounds like you're taking this time and you're putting it to good use. You're learning things. That's one of the reasons that I started this podcast, too, is to pick people's brains, to learn about them, learn what they know. And you're a self-taught man. I think those chords and learning all that music theory is going to come in handy as you get bigger and bigger, because one day you're going to end up being Jay-Z and P. Diddy and be that guy sitting in the big chair behind the booth producing the new guys. Because right now, you're kind of the new guy turning into the OG, and eventually you'll be a full-fledged OG, and you'll be training up the new guys and teaching them how to make it big. And yeah, if you make a couple bucks off of them while they're, you know, while you're helping them up the ladder, hey, so be it. That's part of the deal. And that's a wonderful thing, man. That's something that you could do. Do you play any instruments as well, or you are your instrument?
That's right. I'm a singer. I'm a songwriter. I'm a producer and I'm a star. I just wanted to slip this in there, man. I like your style and I like what you do. I think that's cool that you reach out to people and just kind of, you know, talk with them. And I like your style, man. I like what you do.
Well, I appreciate that, man. I've been doing this, for a whole a big long time. And since I was on terrestrial radio, when I used to interview people, it would be 5, 10, 15 minutes. And it was just enough time to say, where are you going to be at tonight? Oh, you're at the Sportatorium? Oh, that's wonderful. Well, how much are tickets? Oh, great. And bye. That's it, man. Now I have the opportunity over the last, you know, year and a half that I've taken a long form. I want to delve more into people's stories, and then the people that are listening to this podcast, they glean a lot of information from the story. So believe it or not, people are going to be learning from you, Mr. Exile, and I'm going to keep calling you Mr. Exile because I know your real name, but Exile is the brand, this performer is who you have become. Your real name is way back in Lebanon, Tennessee. You have sprouted. You have become something else, man. EX, what is it? Go ahead, spell it again.
EX1LE. And the the reason it's spelled like that is, okay, so I'm a spell and grammar Nazi, right? I misspelled exile and didn't know it. And then I found out later that I misspelled it, and I laughed so hard about it that I was like, I'm not even going to change it, because it's a great tribute to Means to Be Human and the fact that we all make mistakes. So I kept it. Like, it's totally misspelled. I kept it for that reason. It looks kind of goofy, but I like it. You know, I like the fact that it looks that way.
Hey, man, it's a good rap name. You might have a few problems with jamming that one in the middle there, but it's nowhere as bad as Childish Gambino.
I've seen some crazy rap names, man.
I think he picked that name using a Wu-Tang name generator for his rap name. So, you know, it could be worse, man. But Exile's a great name.
That's sounding funny. I was going to say a name generator, but you stepped it up. You said a Wu-Tang.
No, I believe that's what it was, man. Donald Glover was talking in a podcast I was listening to, and he mentioned that. So, he picked out a name generator. Bam.
Made my eye water up.
Well, I appreciate it, man. Like, it's nice to have some laughs with Mr. Exile. All right, so, I mean, you spent your 20s, you know, spinning, and I don't even know how old you are, but, you know, you spent your 20s, you know, finding your way through in Washington. But I'm noticing on your SoundCloud, you got those three songs out there. That Nothing has been out there for at least 2 years. Is that when you first started really buckling down and putting and saying, look, I got to do this for real?
Yeah, it was actually. That's actually the time that that I was with that girl that I still can't believe that. Like, a video game? Really? Like, man, I would have understood if you were cheating on me with somebody like in real time. But a video game? Like, damn, girl, man. I don't know whose standards are lower at this point, that is when I really was like, you know, because that's when it hit me. I wasn't 30 yet. I was still like 28. I'm 30 now. I turned 30 in January. It really hit me that I was like, this is not everything I could be. I was so busy too. Like, I was working 100 hours a pay period at $18 an hour. And I was supporting her. She wasn't working. You know, I didn't even have custody of my kid, her grandma. And the only reason is because she's been with grandma so long, you know, it's like, I'm not going to take her away from grandma. You know, that's her home. But I was so busy, but I was still trying to find the time to go and record. And especially with scheduling, it was amazing. I had songs out. But after we broke it off, like, I wrote a whole album. After we separated, I wrote a whole album in the course of 2 weeks. Some of those songs I'm not going to release because, like, I believe that anger is a great motivator when applied correctly in a positive way. And a lot of those songs I wrote out of pure rage. Some of those songs I'm not going to release because they're so overtly negative. I don't want to put that out in the world because I don't believe I use that anger properly. I wrote some good songs I'm going to release. They're great. But half the songs aren't going to get released because they're so negative.
Man, you have the wherewithal to recognize that. I mean, I know that Prince, you know, rest his soul, he has so much music in his garage that was never released for some reason or another. There's movies in there. Kevin Smith was talking about this on one of his podcasts, that he directed a whole movie for Prince, you know, like music video, but an extended music video, like a movie. And he said, thank you very much, paid him, and put the and shelved it, put it in his garage, never to be seen ever. I mean, you know, maybe now his vault will be open. But you had the idea, the thought, the you know, the circumstance to know, hey, that really shouldn't be put out in the world. Maybe I don't want to put that out in the world. But, I mean, it's hard because some people would have just put everything out there. And I look at some of the SoundCloud, and I'm going to quote-unquote SoundCloud rappers, where they have, you know, tons and tons and tons of music out there. And not just SoundCloud, and not just the rappers, but all kinds of artists. With the internet, you could put whatever you want out there. And some people will put stuff out there that you could tell that was the first time they ever played it. That was the first take, and they should not have even thought about putting it out to the world, because you just wasted that idea. It's a little baby idea. It's not even fully formed yet. But that's why you only have those three out there that are fully formed, that were ready for consumption. I mean, who helped you produce nothing? Where was that produced? I want to give credit where credit is due, if you want. If not, if you're already severing ties, that's fine.
The guy is great. Actually, you know what? When I was with Danger Mafia Records, I had a bunch of songs that the artist I fell out with, he took my songs, right, that I had. I had a bunch more songs than what I actually have. This motherfucker took my songs on a hard drive and never gave them back to me. As a matter of fact, I don't even think they exist anymore.
You know,
this guy is high octane trash, the worst artist I've ever heard in my life. And I still worked with him because he was my friend. Was. And you want to know why we're not friends anymore? You want to know? I'll tell you why we're not friends anymore. The guy I'm talking about, the guy who produced nothing, because I was recording with him, the artist that had all my songs from Danger Mafia Records silently unfriended me on Facebook. I found out like 2 weeks later when I tried to send him a message just to see how he was. I was like, hey man, how you doing? How are things going? How are you holding up? I noticed it was like, oh, you're not friends on Facebook. I was like, oh, that's got to be a mistake. So I hit him up. I was like, hey man, I don't know what happened. It looks like we're friends for some reason, everything all right? He's like, well, no, everything's not all right. You went and recorded with somebody else and you could have recorded with me. And I was like, bro, you're doing this the wrong way. All you had to do was just come to me and say, hey, man, can I get some of your business? I would have said, yeah, it's cool. He doesn't got to be like that. I lost a friend because I was recording with someone. I didn't even know that there was bad feelings about it. Can you believe that? I lost a friend over $50 and a bunch of my songs from Danger Mafia Records I'll never get back. And it's cool.
I forgive.
I
can believe it. It's good that you have forgiveness in your heart. It's reminding me of a story of I was a DJ down in Fort Lauderdale, and I had a condo, and we used to practice. I was the DJ, Dancing Danny G, and then I had DJ, I'm not even going to say the name, and then I had about 1,000 records set up there in my living room, you know, with the two turntables and a microphone, and we'd host house parties there and have people over, and it was great. And then one day, he moves off to New York. 500 of my records gone. Half of my records gone. And I never saw him, never heard of him again. You know, this is pre-internet, so I really couldn't track him down at the time. And I don't even know, you know, I don't even know his full real name. I knew it was, I didn't know his full name. So I'll never see those records again. But that's a learning experience. That's how business goes sometimes, you know. But you learn from that. And I'm glad that you have forgiveness in your heart, man. So after 2 years ago, when you put that first single out there, where did it go from there? Because I see you have a couple more. Where did Display of Power come in?
That's an interesting story. Also, the person who produced nothing, Michael Vasile. And, you know, he's a good guy. He is. He's a great guy. Friends. And, you know, he's a great. So I just wanted to give him that credit. You know, he fucking earned it. So anyway, he was on Danger Mafia, which is how I know. But for Display of Power, Display of Power is a really interesting story. It's not like a long, like, you know, it's not like long and dragons and fire and treasure. It's not like that. It's just kind of an interesting story. Display of Power came after, I want to say after I can't remember if, it, no, it was because I was approached after I unofficially broke the world freestyle record for longest freestyle in the world.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, when I was with Danger Mafia Records, I can fucking prove this too. It's not like, I'm not making this up. Like, I actually did this. When I was with Danger Mafia Records, I wasn't going under the moniker Exile. I was going under the moniker Synergy. And I broke the world freestyle record by rapping, freestyling, or I think it was like 23 hours and 57 minutes straight without a break. And we recorded it on like three different cameras, and we posted a bunch of videos of it everywhere. It got so many views. Crazy. And then I got awarded a certificate by Danger Mafia Records, and it was like, this is, you know, it was like a little, hey, good job, you know. It brought a lot of publicity to the label, and you know, I gotta credit the whole team with how well, but it was like after that I started getting approached by a bunch of people who And Guinness World Records was like, oh, we weren't there, so it doesn't count. And then the day after I did it, I heard the day after that from the artist I fell out with that somebody from Strange Music went and broke the record right behind me. And I was like, I kind of feel like that was to spite me. You know what I mean? But I don't know if that's true. I how much credibility there is. I never did the research. But anyway, so to answer your question about display of power, I started getting approached by a lot of artists after that because there was a lot of publicity that followed me. Obviously, that was a big challenge to take on, and I did it. A lot of the freestyle, when you freestyle for 24 hours almost straight, a lot of the freestyle is high-octane garbage, and most of it was. I was just trying to stay awake. I could freestyle pretty good, but 24 hours... I don't know anybody could freestyle total gold, you know, for 24 hours. But I got approached by a lot of artists, and I know that was completely my fault. I got approached by a lot of artists, and somebody approached me, and they were like, hey, weren't you the one, and this was sometime after, they were like, weren't you the one that did the whole freestyle world record thing? And I was like, yeah, that's me. And he goes, oh, you know, I would love to do a track with you. I'm going to send you a beat, and... why don't you get something written and record it and then send it to me? And I was like, yeah, I'll do that. Cool. So as soon as he sent me that beat, and the beat, like you've obviously heard it, the beat went so hard. I was like, oh, and to be totally honest with you, I take great personal pleasure in being on tracks with other people and like competing with them. Not in like a I'm better than you way, but like a, I want to see if you can outdo me, you're good. Cause I know I'm good. He sent me this beat. And when people send me a beat and they want to collaborate, a little fire goes off. When you send me a good beat and you want to collaborate something that hits me as soon as I hear it, it's like my whole body gets goosebumps and I like flare up. I'm, oh, it's time. So I start writing this incredible, like I start putting so much fire into this song. And you can hear it in Display of Power. That's why I called it a Display of Power. Because I was displaying for these other artists. I was like, this is what you're going to get. So if you're going to follow me, you better do good. And I know that sounds super arrogant, but it's just common. I took the time. Like, I did this all so fast. I dropped everything I was doing. I called out of work. I, like, wrote this shit down. I went to the studio. I was like, dude, we have to do this right now. We have to do this now. Like, I was like, we have to do it. I don't care what your schedule is. We have to do this now. And he was like, all right, fine. So I paid the money, got the shit recorded. I sent it off to him. Silence. Didn't hear anything. And I was like, what the fuck? And I really thought we were going to do this. What's going on? So I hit him up. He's like, oh yeah, you know, just kind of working on some things. And, I haven't really had time to get it done. And I was like, why did you send me the project if you didn't want to commit the time to do it? And he was like, oh, don't worry, man. I'll get it done like the next couple days. Dude deletes his profile. Now I got an unfinished song with no hook, no other artists, and me putting like the pure raw fury into. So I was like, okay, we'll just chop it and make it one verse and just call it a straight through and put it just a single. All right, put it on. And that's how Display of Power came to be. I don't own the beat. I don't own the rights to it. I don't even know if he did, you know, but it's a Creative Commons thing at this point. I'm not profiting off of it. So.
Well, I'm glad you clarified a lot of that story, because there was part of that story where I was thinking it was going to turn one way, but you turned it another way. When you did that amazing feat of going over 23 hours freestyling, that in itself is amazing. But then you said it gave a lot of publicity to the record company. And then I was wondering, well, what about poor little Exile? Did he get any publicity? And you did. But you said it was mostly the record company that made all the publicity. Now that's gems, man. Once again, for the little artist out there, is the record company is going to try to take all your money, take all the credit. Oh, look at all the artists we got. Ooh, check all these artists. But what about the little artist that's actually putting that stuff out there? You got to get yours, man. And it sounds like, you know, you got a little bit and then they ghosted you. That's it. Gone.
That's true. That wasn't actually the guy who did that. Wasn't with the record company. He was okay. Just some artist somewhere. And also, that is true. Record companies will do you like that. And that's why, you know, I'll probably, there's only two labels I would actually sign to for reasons other than money. And I'm not going to list them because I want them to, I'm not going to put in it, you know, they ever approach me, then I'll be like, all right. But
yeah, maybe not on a podcast, but certainly in your mind. And when you wake up in your room and you're doing your meditating, put it out to the world, man. Because I don't know whether that works or not. Put it out to the universe. That's where you want to be. It does. Well, good.
I need greatly, and, you know, meditate. Credit the label I was with, Mafia Records. It was a very impromptu thing. I decided to do the freestyle record within the course of an hour. Me and my boy JMC used to sit in this van that I'm in right now and just freestyle for hours. And he was like, dude, you should go for the world record. And I was like, nah. And he's like, come on, man. It'd be so dope. And then I called up the owner and I was like, hey, do you want me to do this? And she was like, yes, do it. So we showed up and within an hour, I'm attempting the world freestyle record. And when I say publicity, I mean just it drew a lot of attention to the company. They're really good people. They didn't take anything from me. In fact, they provided way more than I gave back to them. So just to give them the proper credit, that wouldn't have been possible without them. I say we got about equal, but that's a rare instance. What you said is true. Companies are in it for themselves and not the artists. Danger Mafia Records, different because it was privately owned by somebody who was a very good friend of mine, who is a very good friend of mine.
Yeah, that's not a huge record company. That's a little mom and pop kind of record company. Yeah, yeah. I get, man. You know, where you can find somebody that can work with you, that can help you to get your dream, your vision out there properly. That's one story in itself. But going to Records, you know, the Giants in L.A., you might have a problem. But, okay, I mean, that brings us to the latest song that you put out there, Post-Traumatic Stress. Not just a song, but you got a video out there that's being hosted on Alt-Wave. Alt-Wave Hip-Hop? Alt-Wave Hip-Hop. They have their YouTube. Is that somebody that you work with?
Yeah, that is actually, that's my brother. Not like my blood brother, but I consider him a blood brother because, you know, because of just the way my life has been, I believe that family way deeper than just whether you're related by blood. You know, I think family is something that's proven. You feel me? Like, and he was with me on the streets. His name is Darks Side. Like Darks and then Side. So it's Darks with an S and then Side. So it's two S's. Darks Side. He's an artist, and you can look him up on Spotify too. And I recommend you do it. He's got some very unique. He's got a very unique, different sound, and he's a really good artist, really great guy. This is a cool story, too, because we were just kind of talking, and he was like, hey, man, you got any songs you want to record? And I was like, yeah, always. And he goes, well, I live way down in, he lives hella far. I mean, I'm not going to put out where he lives. He's a very private person, like that. But he lives really far away from me. And he's like, never make it down here, man. Come record a song. So I come down there. You know, and I'm greeted by his family. They're like, oh, hey, it's good to see you. You know, he did everything. We go back in the studio. All right, this coffee has got me gapped out. Like, I'm so caffeine high.
You should stick with the tea. I'm drinking the half and half for those that are watching the video version of this podcast. It's half lemonade, half iced tea. You know, like we do it in the South. You know, little tea, little sweet tea.
That's right. Everybody knows how to make the sweet tea. Actually, I went to a restaurant once up here in Washington, and I was like, can I get some sweet tea? And they were like, we got unsweetened tea. And I was like, can you maybe make sweet tea? And then they were like, how? And I was like, you put sugar on water and stir.
Put some sugar in it. Jeez.
How did they, like, and to their credit, you know, I'm not a super demanding, like, I don't go places like, oh. You know, you have to serve me. I am your king. You know, when I get to, I'm not like that. I'm really polite to customer service. But with, like, people ask me really stupid fucking questions, I can't help but answer in kind. So anyway, back to the subject. He hits me up and I go down to his studio and we record one of the new, actually, we recorded a few of the new songs. And one of those was, I forgot the name of my own song.
Post-traumatic stress. I think you got a little post-traumatic stress is what you got.
Yeah, post-traumatic stress. I was thinking of so many different names. I've got From the Ashes, which hasn't been released yet. I've got a song about, titled it, a song about how I don't believe in marriage. It's a real, I can't wait to look it out.
True story.
Me too. So, we recorded a few songs, and Display of Power was one of them. And, you know, that was one of my favorite ones. The whole album I was talking about that I got written on my phone, that's where those are from that album. those are some of the really good ones that I wrote. Post-traumatic stress was really deep for me, actually. I really felt like a lot of the pain that's culminated in me over my lifetime in that song. And, you know, I'm sure I'll release ones that top it in the future because there's a long career ahead of me. But he hits me up and he's like, hey, why don't you come record a song? And I was like, cool. So I go down to a studio, we record a few songs, and he's like, dude, we should shoot a music video to one of these. And I was like, sweet. So we record a music video, like just impromptu like that. And it was my first music video. And looking back, there's things I wish I would have done different. You know, I wish I would have been more animated. I was kind of nervous, you know. It's like, I don't really get nervous very often either.
Well, I mean, you're a singer, you know, not necessarily an actor, but the video, man, I'm a very visual person. I'll play this music video probably on a Friday night when I go out to the club, and I'll put it up on the wall. That's one of the things that I do when I meet up with new artists such as yourself. I'll take the music videos and I'll put them up at the clubs, as well as, you know, I'll put them on my little radio station that's sitting here behind me for those that are watching the video, you know, but I'll put them up, and then people will go, man, that's a dope song, man. Who is that? And I go, oh, that's Exile. Look him up, man. You know, check him out on out there in the world, man. Hopefully that gets you a little bit more promotion. Now, do you have your stuff up on Spotify as well?
No, that's my next step. I start producing when my equipment gets here. That is literally my next step. My next step is to make a beat website, so I start pulling in some funds from doing this, and also to put anything that I record on Spotify, because I know that's kind of the new, like, that's a new thing for artists to do. Also, I'm going to put this out there. I have a memory like a goldfish, but I also do not forget how people treated me, and you got a Ferrari in your future. I'm just
No, I appreciate that so much. Not even necessary, but I'm just glad to talk to you, man. And the video was done very well, man. You said it was just shot very impromptu. Who shot the video again?
It was like that. We were just like, oh, let's record, and he was like, let's do a music video, and I was like, cool. And we went and did it just on the spot. And he did a great job, too, for the limited resources that he's got. You know, he did a great job. It was actually really what inspired me to learn production and all this, because I was watching him, like, and he said something that resonates in my skull to this day. And he said, you may, something along the lines of, like, that, you may know how to rap, but I learned the game. And I was like, damn, he did too. He learned how to record music. He learned how to record vocals. He learned how to do music video production. And he was doing so much more than me. It made me feel so embarrassed. The big kicker about this whole thing is he invited me down, recorded my songs. He did a music video on the drop and got a bunch of people to come help. He used all of his own equipment, and he didn't even charge me. After I asked him, I was like, bro, what, like, obviously I'm going to compensate you. What do you want for this? He was like, what are you talking about? And I was like, don't you want me to pay? Like, this has got to be fucking racking up a bill, right? And he was like, no, bro, I believe in you. That almost made me cry. I'm not playing. Like, I almost cried when he said that. I believe in you. Like, I kind of tear up a little bit thinking about it. He said, I believe in you. And that, like, it hit me like a fucking shotgun round in the chest, because it was like, nobody's ever really said that to me. Like, people have said it, you know, people have, like, heard my, they're like, oh, I believe in you, cool. I'm like, yeah, sweet. But nobody's ever, like, really done, like, so much, and then to follow it up with, I believe in you. That's what I mean. My family has proven, and he's proven it before. We were on the streets. Me and this guy have been in fights. We're met, like, not each other. You know, when you're in the streets, it's a vicious scene. We've been in fights where there's blood spilt, like just voluminous amounts of blood spilt in these fights, you know, for one reason or another. So, I he's already proven it. I'm not saying that he proved being my family because of that. I'm just saying that sometimes you forget, you know, you get scarred by so many people in the world. You forget that there's people out there that really actually care. And when it reveals itself out of the blue, it just hits you real hard. But that's where, post-traumatic stress came from.
That's exactly, that is such a good story. And that's exactly what you need as a creative artist, to give you that fuel, man, to have somebody to push you forward. Whenever you're doing a show, and I tell people all the time, you go see a local artist, you go see a brand new artist, the best thing you could do is go meet up with them over at the merch table. And yeah, maybe you can't afford a t-shirt, but if you can get a little button and at least go up and tell them, hey, Exile, man, you're really good. You're really good. Just that little feeling, just that gives you that extra energy, that fuel to keep on moving, man. Because you want to know that what you're putting out to the world is good, is being, is getting a good response. I mean, I don't know what the response is on some of the things that you've had so far. It sounds like you've had quite a few people tell you how good you are, and that's why you keep going, man.
Yeah. Actually, I hear it a lot. And it does. You're right. It absolutely means so to me. People showing they enjoy what you do is like, I recently I get talk. I'm so gal out on caffeine. I recently learned how to make sushi, and I made some sushi for somebody, and they were like, wow, this is crazy. And the feeling is like, wow, you know, I made that, and they really appreciate it. It's that same thing. Like when a chef makes a really good meal and then sees that people are like loving it, he's like, this is why I do this. When I see the face eating this delicious meal that I took the time and energy to learn how to make, and I spent time and love making this thing, and to see joy, that is worth fucking. However, I have also been to shows, and I'm not refuting what you said at all. I don't want you to think this is my disagreeing with you. You're right. It feels great when people do that, and it's great, really. And people think that the only support artists want money. Yeah, money's great, but seriously, for anybody out there listening, artists appreciate you just listening and saying it's good. Seriously. But I've performed shows. I've performed quite a few shows. God damn my hair. I've performed quite a few shows where, you know, I go up. Actually, I had one. I went up and performed. I did my performance, and my stage presence is very strong. It always has been. I had a guy come to me after I performed, and he was like, he came up, I was sitting in the smoking section with everybody at Danger Mafia, and this dude come up, he sat down, and he looked at me, he was like, how am I supposed to follow that? But my point is, I was like, wow, thank you, that's a great compliment. So my point is that I've done a lot of shows where there's been a lot of people, you know, and some are good, some are not, some are burning garbage. And I've literally heard other people go up to the burning garbage artist after they've like stood next to me and go, wow, this guy is terrible. And then go up to this artist and go, bro, that was so good. You were so great. I'm like, no, it wasn't. It wasn't good. And now you're lying, which like that particular artist was so bad. You know, obviously I'm not going to drop his name. He was so bad. He had no rhythm, no cadence. His lyrics were trash. The beat was horrific. It was like, if you ever watched Rick and Morty?
Yes.
Do you remember the episode, the simulator, and Jerry's driving in the car, and they're like, oh, Jerry's not supposed to be in the simulator, and they're like, just cap a setting auto, and we'll deal with him later. And he's driving in the car, and he's sitting in the car, and they're like, all right, and here's human music, and then it comes on, and it's like, do 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 do. It was like that. That was his, it was literally like that. That was his beats, and he's rapping over this, and it was horrible. This dude is wearing like a three-piece suit with a fedora, and I'm just like, what is happening on this stage? And he comes off, and everybody was like, Exile, well, I was Synergy at the time. They were like, this is garbage, man. Why is this guy even performing? Then they go up, and they're like, bro, that was so good. You're so good. Keep doing what you're doing. I walked up, and I was like, look, man, the thing about telling other artists that their music is not good is you can't just walk up and go, bro, that was trash, kill yourself. You can't do it. You gotta act. You gotta walk up and go, look, man, with all due respect, and this is what I said to him. I said, dude, with all due respect, there are quite a few things you need to work on. I'm willing to help you. Obviously, he wasn't willing to hear it. He was just like, oh, you know, agree to disagree. And I was like, all right, you know, I tried to tax advice. But that is the point of this is, yeah, artists love when you say that it's good. If it's not, tactfully let them know that there's some improvements that's worth more than just saying, oh, it was awesome, especially if it wasn't. Feel me?
Oh, for sure. There are no failures. There are only learning experiences. And that's what you do, man. You learn from that. Oh, maybe I should have done it that way. Maybe I should have put this first over there. I get it, man. I get that. And there's been a few times when I was first starting out as a baby DJ you should have maybe turned the bass down a little bit or turned this up here or the sound wasn't completely right. Oh, okay. I learned from that, you know. So thankfully, hey, that's as long as you learn and then put that to use. Don't just take their advice and go, oh, I'm just going to do it my way. You got to do it the right way. But all right, man. I mean, we're up to now. We're up to where you are right now. Are you outperforming? I mean, before this whole quarantine thing, but were you outperforming on stage in front of hundreds or thousands of people or 20 people or whatever? Or were you just mostly doing studio stuff?
The most people I've ever performed in front of was a couple, like, I'd say a couple hundred.
Okay, that's good.
And they weren't even there to see me. They were there. It was cool. But it was like the biggest venue I've ever done is when we opened for Obie Trice. That was the biggest venue I ever did. But I was the first act and like two people. Nobody was there to see me. It was like, I've performed for various sizes of crowds, but for the most part, since I'm a local independent artist, nothing special to anybody yet, except for to myself, you know. I've performed, you know, the biggest is, you know, 100 or so, a little bit more. The smallest is like one or two. And usually the median there is about, you know, 10, maybe 20 people. And they're just really cool people that I know who come to support and, you know, bob their head while you're rapping on stage.
Hey, Mr. Exile, I wouldn't be upset about the size of the people. Just keep getting up on stage, getting that stage time, you know, keep getting up there and getting more and more comfortable. And you see, as time progresses, man, things will just keep flowing and flowing. It'll just keep getting better and better. And the people will come. You're going to keep getting better and better. You're as good as you are right now. You're going to keep getting better and better at what you do, man. And not just the live performance and the studio performance, but also the production side. I could see that. You've already invested in the equipment and you've taken the time to learn the chord progression and all the theory of music. So you're going to be helping other people out. I could see that in your future. And I'm no medium or anything, but I could see it in your future.
Well, check it out. Just, I'm not lying. Look. I know you don't think I check this out. I got my little music production notebook, like my little self-taught that I got. Little bookmarks where I'm like picking up the nomenclature of music theory and all the little definitions. And let's see what else I got. I got my little. I'm not going to put that one on camera because that's my marketing plan. I don't want nobody. I don't want nobody biting my marketing plan because it's really good.
Because you know they're going to screenshot it and go, ooh, I think that's a great idea.
They will, too. They're going to go, ooh, that's big.
All right, my man. Well, Exile, I mean, I've had a blast chatting with you. And like I said in the beginning of this podcast, even though the sound wasn't working out so well, this is only part one, only the beginning. You know, from time to time, I want you to check in and, you know, give me a little boost on what Exile's doing these days. You got the three songs out there on SoundCloud. Tell the people how to get a hold of you as we wind this thing down.
That's www.soundcloud.com/EXH1LE. That's where you can find my music. And if you have any inquiries about, you know, like what am I going to be doing in the future? You know, I'll have people dropping emails, you know, to get foot traffic over to where I'm making beats and everything. But, you know, if you want to ask questions or just get to know me or whatever, I've got a fan page on Facebook. It's spelled just the same as it is on my SoundCloud. You know, it's just at EXH1LE. That's my fan page. Or if you just want to shoot me that email, you can do exilemusic@gmail.com. That's EXHLEmusic@gmail.com. I really appreciate you, man. It's been great. I've had just as much fun talking to you. I look forward to talking to you again. To be real with you, now that, you know, I got you as an ally in the harsh world of music production and coming up in the industry, now that I got you as an ally to be one of the 100% real with you. Actually, that has just added to my inspiration. The next time I check in with you, I will be doing better than I am doing now. So you are now an additive to my inspiration.
Well, it's good to be a small part of the show, man. I'll put all those links that you just mentioned in the show notes so people find out where to get a hold of Mr. Exile. I usually finish these things off with last words for the people, and it's it could be just words of advice that you, words that you live by, words that somebody told you way back when, or just whatever pops up into your head. Exile, last words for the people.
I would say, you know, even though I already said it like throughout the show, you know, when you're going to do what you're going to do, if you're going to do it, commit to it and learn as much as you can about doing it. Like, don't bet on your talents. You know, if you're going to do something, go in and don't care about what anybody says, what anybody thinks. Everybody in life is going to judge you and put you down. Even if you were like, even if you owned every single square inch of the planet, somebody would find some reason to diss you and bring you down. So what you're going to do, if you're going to do something, go in, learn everything you can about it, and fuck what everybody thinks. And my final piece is something that I hold very dear, that somebody who's very special to me said, and I live by this. I think that you should too, because I burned a lot of bridges in my life. And this gem, I think everybody needs to live by, and that is, build a longer table, not a higher fence.
Well, there you have it, party people. Exile, a very enterprising young man. The man's got skills to pay the bills. Almost 24 hours freestyle rapping? Really? Really? Come on, man. Come on, Shun. I mean, it's just that little rap that he put out in the beginning of the podcast, that one floored me already, the speed and accuracy. And I know that it was accurate. I know that the Skype was cutting out a little bit. That's, you know, the spotty Wi-Fi where he was at. But hey, I got the gist of it, and I hope you got the gist of it as well. And I hope that you follow Exile in his journey, on his journey, and add him to your Spotify list. I know that's next on his list, is to be a Spotify artist, and maybe you can give him a couple pennies in his pocket so he can eat and keep a roof over his head and keep going and doing what he's doing. Yeah, that's what you need to do. And if you're in the Washington area, I'm sure he's going to be busting out and playing at a theater near you, at an event near you, and then maybe, just maybe, over the next little bit of time, he'll be playing all over the world. You know, through technology, we can hear the music all over the world, that's for sure. But we'll be able to see and hear him all over the world. Yeah, Exile. Thank you so much for being on the program, What Makes You Famous. If you'd like to tell your story, this time I'm turning to you. Yes, you, the loyal listener. If you'd like to tell your story, I encourage you to give me a call at 501-470-6386 or email info@radiowhat.com. That's it for me. It's Keys Dan, radiowhat.com, djlittlerock.com. Peace. I'm out of here.
Be on Radio What? Call 501-470-6386. Say your name, where you're from, and you're listening to What? The music you want is on RadioWhat.com.
If you like what you hear, follow What Makes You Famous social media. Use the hashtag What Makes You Famous. Follow on Facebook at What Makes You Famous. Follow on Instagram at What Makes You Famous. Follow on Twitter at Makes Famous, and follow on YouTube at Keys Dan. Leave What Makes You Famous podcast a review and subscribe. Listen to What Makes You Famous podcast on Podbean, iTunes, YouTube, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, and almost anywhere you find podcasts. Tell your story on my podcast, What Makes You Famous. Call 501-470-6386 and leave a message to set up a time. You can support What Makes You Famous using the PayPal link, paypal.me/KeysDan. Email info@radiowhat.com. What Makes You Famous podcast is a production of Keys Dan Enterprises Incorporated at KeysDan.com. Thank you for listening.
Radio What, the music you want. with some great quotes. Those who know nothing of foreign languages know nothing of their own. Johann Wolfgang von Goethe. The music you want. RadioWhat.com.